following message is from your La Chulette series, Unlovable. This week, Pastor Paul presents part three of this series.
It is good to be with you today. I'm Paul, one of the pastors here. Hopefully, you found one of these little army men. Anybody ever play with army men when you were a little younger? Some of you did. I did. Yeah. And well, we want you to take an army man, and you're not supposed to play with it, unfortunately. Maybe for a little while, but then we want you to give this out to a veteran and invite them next week to church, and we're just going to celebrate the veterans a little bit for the week of veterans celebration. So take this and give it to someone and invite them to church next week and say thanks for serving. You know, for those of you in the room, it is good to be with you. It's always so good to get together right now. For so many times, we've not been able to get together as much, but man, it's good to get together. For those of you who are watching online, it's good to be with you through technology, that we have that opportunity, whether you're home under the weather or maybe in another part of the country, just being where you are vacationing. And for those of you who are at the prison and the jail, man, it's good to be with you. And we look forward to the day when you're going to join us here at New Life and worship together with us. We're in the third week of a sermon series that we are calling Unlovable. And if you've been here the first couple weeks, man, I don't know about you, but wow, it has been challenging me and blessing me on this journey of faith as we've been learning this idea of unlovable. And today we're going to look at another aspect of that. And to do that, I want us to start off by, I want you to ponder something for me. I want you to ponder what your ordinary day would look like. You know, an average day, ordinary day, what would it look like? And you know, for every single one of us, each we would look a little bit different. And what your ordinary day would look like would just change a little bit. But maybe for some of you, an ordinary day would look like this. Students up there in the balcony, maybe, you know, an ordinary day, maybe not this little, but being a student, you know, all of us here at one time, this was our ordinary day, being in school. And for some of you, you're teachers, or you have been a teacher, and that would be an ordinary day for you. For others of you, maybe here in Gillette, maybe this is your ordinary day, one of our great coal miners and carrying out the work that is so necessary for us in these United States and beyond. Or maybe for others of you, maybe this is an ordinary day. If you're a stay-at-home parent, maybe you like just hanging out at the playground, maybe not today, but you know, just hanging out with your kids and blessing them and walking them on a journey. For others of you, maybe it looks like this has been in the news a lot, you know, our healthcare workers and what an ordinary day for them might look like. And then there's a few of you in the room that are mature, that you've reached this great place of being retired. And maybe this looks like an ordinary day for you. This is Jay, one of our own New Lifers in his retired ordinary life. And yeah, he's having fun. That's ordinary. I'm aspiring to this someday, that I can have an ordinary day like this. You know, in ordinary days, it just depends. You know, it's an average day, an ordinary day. And sometimes our ordinary days are a little bit better, and sometimes they're maybe a little bit worse, depending on maybe what food we ate or what the weather is like outside, or maybe an interaction that you have with someone that causes it to either be up or down. But, you know, we all understand a generally an ordinary day. But what if, I'm going to have us ponder another question here now. What if our ordinary day could become an extraordinary day? Sound interesting to you? Sound something like you want to learn more about? Yeah, and truthfully, it depends on who you are, what your purpose in life is, what drives you as far as what would make your ordinary day an extraordinary day. For some of you out there, this is what it would be. You know, winning the lottery, getting that big cash money into your pocket, and that would be exciting. For some of you students up there, maybe this would be your extraordinary day would just be getting an A+ on a paper or report card. It just depends on who you are, what drives you, what's your purpose in life, or what your mission in life is. So let's think about this. Since we're talking in church here with at least most of us here being Christian, what about this? What does an extraordinary day look like if we are fulfilling our life of being a Christian? If we're living out that life, if we're putting our faith in Christ and we're then saying, okay, Jesus, we want you to lead us and guide us. We're going to follow you. So as our ordinary day goes on, we're wanting to live it as Jesus would live it if he were walking in our steps, following Jesus. So what would that look like? So what we're going to do here today is we're going to spend some time looking at an ordinary day in the life of Jesus. We're going to pick one of the days that we see in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're not going to be able to look at the whole day because the first part of his day on this day was preaching that thing that we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I invite you to read it and to see what the earlier part of his day was all about. He was preaching the word powerfully with a huge crowd of people, much like what we're doing here, and he just shared a powerful word. And by the end of that, I don't know about you, but for Pastor Mike and I, at the end of a Sunday morning, after we're done preaching, we're ready for a break. But what does Jesus do as we go into this, the rest of his ordinary day? What does it look like? And potentially, does it look a little extraordinary? Let's see, as we jump into chapter 8 now, verse 1, it goes like this. Large crowds coming down off that mountain followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. And suddenly a man with leprosy approached him. Well, Jesus, your day just changed, didn't it? Now, for all of us here, we have a mindset that we consider when we hear that word leprosy. And for some of you, maybe it's because you've seen images of it. Maybe you've encountered somebody that had a form of this of some kind. Leprosy is one of those things that brings out some of the unknowns and some fears, possibly, because we just don't always get it. And over the last 150 years of leprosy, we've had things like this, a leper colony. This is one that's over in Hawaii. And the amazing thing is this leper colony in Hawaii, just about 5 years ago, it transitioned from a place where people were still living with leprosy into now it's just a historical landmark. But we've had these colonies like this since the 1800s, where people who found themselves with this infectious disease called leprosy, Hansen's disease is another name for what our understanding of leprosy is, and they would find themselves, because of the unknowns, because of possibly the fears and anxiousness of certain people, they would be told, you need to go live in a colony to separate yourself from the rest of the people because we just didn't know how to handle that situation. And the good thing is for the people that do have the leprosy, then they found a safe haven where people weren't going to misunderstand them and maybe mistreat them because of the infectious thing that they were dealing with. But as we think about an ordinary day with Jesus and maybe our own days as well, we need to understand that many times the fear of the unknown keeps us from living the extraordinary life, from living it as maybe God would want us to. I mean, think back, it was about a year and a half ago, we all remember the spring of 2020 when the world got changed, turned upside down, when the news started sharing all of this information with us, and we all started dealing with it in different ways, and there was some fear, there was anxiousness, there was a lot of unknowns, and you think about how that caused us to relate to each other for a while as we were dealing in this COVID world, and how we maybe didn't interact with each other in the best way. I remember, and I'm sure that you remember some of these images as well, as I went up to Albertsons and wanted to get some groceries, and many of us were masked at that time period, and I go in, and we don't even know how to look at each other, to interact with each other, to talk to each other. And we find yourself over in the produce aisle and you're picking out your apples and your grapes. And all of a sudden you have that moment where whether it's because you're chewing gum and you swallow saliva the wrong way, or maybe you just get a tickle because of wearing the mask. And all of a sudden that sound comes out of your mouth. Do you remember? And you remember how everybody responded? Reacted in that moment, how very quickly there were some people who were frozen and they slowly turned to look to see who it was. There are other people just turned and looked and they were ready to move. And then you had the people that instantly, they grabbed their cart and they were over in the meat aisle instantly because of the fear and the unknown. We didn't know how to handle that situation. COVID, it's serious stuff. But many times, the fear of the unknown keeps us from living the extraordinary life. What about Jesus? Because here's this man with leprosy. He approaches Jesus. What is Jesus going to do with this? Because leprosy in the Bible times, we understand it as Hansen's disease, as we've seen the pictures of leprosy. But in biblical time, leprosy could have been a lot of different things. Because leprosy in biblical times, it could have been something as simple as ringworm. And God wrote into the Old Testament law how to handle these infectious skin disease. He wrote that if you got something like ringworm, you were supposed to excuse yourself from the community and to stay away from everyone else. Why would God want to put that into, it was just until you got better and then you could come back into the community. Why would God put that into a law telling somebody stay away from the rest of the community for a period of time? In the simple word, it was love. And you might be thinking, love? That doesn't sound very loving, asking somebody to exclude themselves for a period of time. But actually God, when he was giving this law, he knew the people's situation. He knew that the medical community wasn't as knowing as what we are here today. And he also knew that his people's hygiene wasn't as good. So if I all of a sudden got ringworm, an infectious skin disease, would I want my family to catch that or the community I'm hanging out with? Well, of course not. And so to love them, I would listen to God and I would exclude myself from the community for that period of time until I could come back in after I was healthy again. But the problem is, in the hands of God, this was a law of love. But in the hands of people who were a little bit sinful, how would they respond to that? They got this law, they would see somebody with ringworm, and how did they respond? But not in an ungodly way, truthfully. They, because of the fears and the unknowns, and what does this all mean? And they would start excluding them, and they would cause those individuals, if they walked down the street, they would have to yell out, unclean, unclean, to announce that they were people that you needed to stay away from. And not only that, when they heard this announcement, the other people would respond by calling out insults, ugly words, ugly names, and yes, sometimes they'd even pick up stones to throw at them to try to keep them moving away from their premises. Fears of the unknown keeps us from living an extraordinary life. So how would this man who was approaching Jesus, how would he feel? Well, remember this tree that Pastor Mike has looked at the last couple of weeks? The unlovable tree, the tree that is cut off from life. The man with leprosy, he's having nobody interact with him, nobody wanting to come close to him. And not only that, more than likely, he faced the persecution that others were bringing his way because they didn't really know how to deal with him. This was a man that was feeling unloved, unlovable. Who in the world will ever be willing to reach out to me? What does Jesus show us? What does he teach us? Suddenly a man with leprosy again approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Notice how he approaches Jesus. It says that he knelt before him, and that's truthfully not big enough because the Greek word here, it gives the image of someone who prostrates themselves before Jesus. In other words, lays flat on their face before Jesus, because he recognizes that Jesus, somehow, some way, he knew enough about Jesus, he calls him Kyrios, Lord. He says, I recognize that you're up here and I'm down here. I don't deserve to be even in your proximity, but here I am hoping, longing, if you are willing, because the man believes in him. He says, you can heal me. That's not a question for this guy. He knows that Jesus, being who he is, has the possibility to heal him. The question is he willing to? Is Jesus willing to cross those barriers, those social customs that cause this man to be separated from everyone else? Is Jesus willing with this crowd of people? Remember, they're not alone. There's a crowd of people looking on, them looking at this man. Dude, you're unlovable. What in the world are you doing near our Jesus? Jesus, are you willing to help? Jesus reached out and touched him. What are you doing, Jesus? He reaches out and touches it. And then this ordinary day that Jesus has experienced all of a sudden is becoming extraordinary. It's changing. It's becoming extraordinary because Jesus is seeing the unlovable and he's willing to cross those barriers and willing to say, yes, I'm willing to do that. Jesus says, I am willing, Jesus said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. And then Jesus, get this, Jesus says to him, don't tell anyone. Why not? You just changed my life. You reached across the unlovable into the lovable and you changed and transformed my life. Why not tell anyone? Because this is a normal thing for Jesus. When he heals somebody, he's not worried about himself. Jesus was more weird. Go ahead, John. Jesus was more concerned about helping this man who felt unlovable get back into life. He didn't care about himself. He didn't want to bring a lot of attention to himself. He just cared about this man. So what does Jesus tell him to do? Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony, not about me, Jesus says. It's not about me, but instead this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed, not just healed. But Jesus takes this right out of the Old Testament law and says, because you're now healed, I want you to go to the priest and let the priest say you're cleansed, because that gives you life. The unlovable tree. Jesus reaches across the barrier, reaches into this man who is feeling unlovable, cut off from life, and gives him life. Well, if that's how Jesus reacts to this situation in our ordinary days, how do we live? Well, if we who are Christians want our ordinary day to become extraordinary, we follow the lead of the one who was extraordinary in how he loved the unlovable. Let me read this again. If we who are Christians want our average, ordinary day to become extraordinary, we follow the lead of the one who was extraordinary and how he was willing to cross those boundaries and love the unlovable. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? How do we live that out? How does that change us in how we live? Well, we're probably thinking at this point, Jesus, surely your day is going to come to an end because after preaching all day and now this interaction, surely you're exhausted. Well, they're now on the road, heading towards where they'll eventually get to so they can have supper. Hopefully no other interactions. Let's see. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Oh boy, here's another one of those taboos, those social boundaries that Jesus is now trying to figure out. Because here's the deal. There's the other Jewish people, the disciples and others in the crowd who are seeing this Roman officer coming and approaching Jesus. They're seeing him as the enemy, the Romans. And actually one of Jesus' disciples, Simon, not Simon Peter, but Simon, he was called the Zealot. And a Zealot was a patriot. He was one of these individuals that, well, in our terminology, he did conceal carry. He had a dagger in his clothes somewhere so that if he ran into one of these Roman-type figures, an officer, a soldier, or a magistrate of some kind, many times these zealots would just bring that dagger out and they would take care of business and wiping out their enemy. Well, all of a sudden, now Jesus has this Roman officer approaching him, asking him for help. And you could feel the tension building in the realms of the disciples as they're now faced with this dilemma. How do we handle this enemy in front of us? You know, I remember some of those same feelings, those emotions back when I was in high school. There was this crowd of people that were called the West Branch Warriors. That was our rival school right next door to us. I mean, we were the town that had the grocery stores and we even had a McDonald's and, you know, we were the community. They lived out in the country and if they needed anything, well, they had to come into our neck of the woods and we were bitter rivals. We were at each other regularly. I mean, if you came in as a West Branch wearing a shirt in one of our grocery stores, there was a good chance there was going to be a little box of instant Jell-O tossed over the aisle to try to hit you in the head. And if we saw you, if we were driving down the road and we saw a West Branch sweatshirt on the road, changing a flat tire. Not only did we keep on driving, we cheered that you were in this predicament as we were driving by you. I mean, we were just nasty to each other. Matter of fact, when I was a senior in high school, there's a story out there somewhere that there was a group of people in my graduating class. It was never proven, but there was a group of them that possibly went out and took gasoline and wrote the letters of Phillipsburg or P.O. on the with gasoline. We burned the letters. They burned the letters. It's not proven, into the football field down at West Branch. It was never proven. That year, we weren't allowed to face each other in football anymore for a few years. But we understand those tensions, don't we? Those bitter rivals. I mean, if I would hang out with a person from West Branch, it was like, you know, getting together with the enemy, fraternizing with the enemy. It was just not to be done. Well, that's how these disciples were feeling as this Roman centurion came to Jesus asking for help. What am I going to do with this? Jesus, surely we're going to repulse him and move him away, or possibly even let Simon get out his dagger and take care of business. But how does Jesus, in an ordinary day, allow the day to become extraordinary? Jesus said, "I'll come and I'll heal him." Jesus, what are you thinking? This is surely not what you want to do. This is not what we do. Maybe some of you remember Pastor Mike looked at this passage in detail a few months ago, where this man, he comes to Jesus, but he comes in faith. And that faith that this Roman officer had in Jesus moved Jesus to deal with it. And so Jesus continued. Later on in verse 13, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, you had faith in me, it has already happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. Jesus reached across those boundaries and loved the unlovable. It was about 10 years ago, and I was pastoring at that time in a church just slightly smaller than New Life. And there was a group of people in my congregation that came to me and said, "Paul, we would like to go on a work camp into an area somewhere where we can swing our hammers and just help people. We just want to get out there in a community and just really bless some people." And so I started putting some ears out to some other pastors in the Pennsylvania area, just trying to find a location where we could go and just serve in their community. And finally, Karen, not my Karen, it was a pastor friend that I went to seminary with, she called me up and said, "Paul, I have the perfect opportunity for you because we're getting ready to start this new ministry we're going to call Carpenter's Hammers, where we're wanting to go into our community and swing the hammer and help people. And we would love to kick off this new ministry. We would love your group to come up and spend a week with us and to share some blessing on some people, and then we will continue on the ministry moving forward." I said, "Karen, that's exactly what we're looking for. Where is your church? And so we can start getting set up to come." She goes, "Oh, we're in Allport." I said, "Which Allport?" She says, "You know, the one in Center County, right outside of Phillipsburg." Man, did my chest get tight all of a sudden. That's where West Branch is. That's the Allport where the high school is. The good news is I was slightly more mature in my faith than what I was back in high school by this time. But although I had still some of those animosity, those thoughts, but those are the enemy. We don't pull alongside of them. We don't minister to them. We push them away. But what does Jesus teach us with what he did? Jesus reached beyond the social boundaries that said these people are unlovable, and he loved them. He was willing to see these people for what they were, people that God created, loved them, and he was willing to simply say, "I will care for you. Doesn't matter what everyone else is thinking or what the world says about you, I will love you." And if that's how Jesus lives, if that's what an ordinary day in the life of Jesus looks like and how it becomes extraordinary, what about for us if we're Christians? This is what it means. If we who are Christians want our ordinary day to become extraordinary, we follow the lead of the one who was extraordinary in how he loved the unlovable. Now, surely, this has been a long day, right? Jesus, hopefully your day's starting to come to an end because I'm getting tired just reading all of this. And they get to the place where they're going to have their evening meal together. And as they come into that meal, hopefully they're all thinking, okay, it's been a lot. Hopefully it's going to be a little bit of a break. We continue. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law, the mom of the house, was sick and in bed with a high fever. You might be thinking, what's the big deal? This was a huge deal because this is the woman of the house. She is supposed to be the one that is the hostess with the most. She's the one that's supposed to be providing a huge meal for the crowd of people, the disciples, and all the others that show up here. Peter's embarrassed. What do you mean she's sick and in bed? She's supposed to have the big meal ready. Now what are we going to do? This is a woman who's not able to fulfill the purpose for which she was feeling called to in this moment. She is broken. She is hurting. She is feeling unlovable in this moment. Surely, Jesus, you're not going to do anything about this because not only is she sick and in bed, but also she's a woman. And in that time period, the men, they didn't minister to the ladies. Those ladies minister to us. Surely, Jesus, you're not going to go check on her or anything because this woman was feeling in this moment, this was her. Feeling like she could not live out her life as she was called to in that moment. She was feeling unloved. But what does Jesus do? But Jesus, when Jesus touched her, he went into her. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And then she got up and she prepared a meal for him. Jesus was willing to, again, reach across those boundaries, those social customs, those barriers that keep us, the fear, the anxiousness that keeps us from reaching beyond where we are into the extraordinary, that we might love the unlovable. You know, for each of us here, how do we take those steps of what Jesus is showing us and to move from an ordinary day into the extraordinary? Well, do you notice what Jesus notices? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to build up in you the compassionate heart that Jesus has, that when he has the opportunity of someone moving into his proximity and he sees them as a person who is feeling unlovable, do you have the ability to join them on the journey of loving them? I mean, it could look as simple as a haircut. A haircut? What if a person who is facing cancer treatments, chemo, and coming in for a haircut just wanting to shave off the hair just because of what they might be facing? What if it looks like this, where the barber, in realizing what the situation is, wants to pull alongside of this individual and just love them by letting them know, hey, I'm with you on this. You're not alone in this. I will take this journey with you together. This is someone who knows the heart of Jesus, who sees the opportunity that God has placed in front of him and just simply says, I will love you where you are and walk this journey with you. Jesus shows us what an ordinary day can look like if we walk in the steps of Jesus into the extraordinary. If we're Christians, and if we want our ordinary day to become extraordinary, we follow the lead of the one who was extraordinary in how he loved, how he was willing to cross those barriers, those social customs, those boundaries that keep us from reaching out. He was willing to love the unlovable. Surely his day is over, right? I mean, preached all morning, interacted with these individuals, dealt with the crowd that was questioning him in every move, just had a big meal. Now it's time for a break, right? Isn't that what we look for after a long day? Don't we just want to sit down in our recliner or on a couch, maybe grab a book, maybe turn on the game and just relax, right? That's what we want to do after a long day like Jesus just showed. I know that's some days that I feel like that. I just want to sit down. But what if we find ourselves at the end of that long day just hoping to relax, just hoping that everybody else will stay away from us, but all of a sudden an image like this shows up in front of us? Oh, crap. Karen wants to do a project. Honey. Or someone with even more energy, what if he shows up? Daddy, let's do a Nerf war. Really? I mean, I know I'm supposed to love them. I do love them, but in the moment like this, when I'm just wanting a break to relax, for at least a moment, do they not just become a little bit unlovable? How do we deal with these moments when we're just looking for me, wanting a moment for myself? What does Jesus show us? Well, it's the end of his long day. He's tired, he's exhausted, and he's just hanging out with the disciples, having a great conversation of the extraordinary, ordinary day they just had. But all of a sudden, the day's not over, evidently. There's a group of broken people, people that are like an unlovable tree, people who just need some life, people that need some hope. What's Jesus going to do? Hopefully, maybe he'll just call out to them, say, the office is closed. Take 2 aspirin. Call me in the morning, right? That's what we want to hear him say because we want to show him to show us how we can just take a break. But Jesus looks into this ordinary day and he sees a way that how the ordinary day can be ending in an extraordinary way. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus and he cast out the evil spirits with a simple command. And he healed all of the sick. Jesus shows us that if we want to move from an ordinary day into the extraordinary, then we need to grab hold of the compassionate heart that has Jesus written all over it, the powerful name of Jesus that allows us to notice the people that God brings into our proximity, to allows us to be willing to look beyond what the world says we need to do with those people who are maybe a little bit unlovable in this moment, and how we need to step beyond where we are into the extraordinary. Because here's what it comes down to. If we are Christians, if we who are Christians want our ordinary, average, humdrum days to become extraordinary, then we follow the lead of the one who was extraordinary in how he loved the unlovable. This is Jesus. Hopefully it's us. As we live into today, looking for who God might bring into our midst. Holy God, we give you thanks for the ordinary day that you show us in the life of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the people that you will bring into our proximity over this next day, this next week, and the lives that we live. God, help us. Change our hearts. Give us the heart of compassion that you have, Lord Jesus, that you can see beyond the fear and the anxiousness, beyond the boundaries that we might have set up so that we might find ourselves in the extraordinary as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, loving others the way you love them. And may you, Lord Jesus, get all the glory for what you're going to do through us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.